Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Is that what they do to horses or something? Is that the...
Aye.
Stick horses.
Stick a wee bit of wasabi up the horse's arse to get it going. Right. Episode 229 of 20 Minute Tims. And on this week, I am joined by a ferocious Martin Melly.
Yes.
And a despondent or angry Stephen.
Yes, that's correct. I'm here.
And I'm your host, Jamie. And of course, what we're going to be focusing mainly on in this episode is the recent Glasgow Derby. We've already recorded a reaction podcast. We've already recorded a live preview show over on Patreon. We offer almost daily podcasts, as well as weekly videos covering every single thing to do with Celtic. We've got a great mix of coverage and features, and if you want involved in the full 20 Minute Tims match day experience, check it out at patreon.com/20minutetims. Stephen, have you calmed down any from the reaction podcast?
Yeah, well, how it usually works is we get to do our reaction podcast immediately after the game, and that usually provides a sort of catharsis. We can just spew our views out there into the world, and that's, it's a big weight off the shoulders usually. Here is our opinion on the game we've just watched. Now you deal with it. I'm going to move on. Not quite the same this week, sadly. It has lived with me for the last day and a bit. If you will, if you'll allow me, Jamie, I feel like if this podcast was like an American law drama, a courtroom drama,
I would
like prepare an opening statement on what I feel about the game. So if you imagine, this is me walking up and down the jury, talking to them about what...
Anyone familiar with Aaron Sorkin might want to sit in here and get cosy, because I think I know what's coming up.
To be honest, I talk as if I've prepared anything. I haven't. I just want to talk about how I actually feel about this game. Of course, if you're listening to this way off in the future, we are, of course, talking about Celtic 0, Rangers 2 from the weekend that just passed. I don't remember ever having been more angry and embarrassed after a Huns defeat in my entire life. And I'll explain why, because there are many different ways to get beaten by the Huns. And yes, I know, like, different clubs and all that sort of stuff, but that's, if that's your focus on what I'm about to say, stop listening just now, right? I'm not really bothered about that. People will say, right, aye, but the 90s. And that strengthens my point, right? Celtic were pathetic in the 90s. They weren't good enough to beat Rangers in the 90s, but that's a separate issue. And all this time, look, we've been comprehensively pumped off Rangers a few times. Remember, we lost 5-1 under Martin O'Neill. Other times I've come away feeling cheated by the ref or whatever, like the time Bugera booted Robbie Keane up and down the pitch. I felt cheated, and it was a shame game and all that. Other times we've been brilliant against Rangers, but been unlucky, like Tommy Burns and things like that. But never in any of these examples, never in any of these have I come away feeling like Celtic chucked it, like Celtic absolutely packed it in and couldn't be bothered and were just completely mentally defeated, which is what I felt after that game. Watching that, I honestly started to think, and it would have solved nothing, I admit that, it would have solved absolutely nothing, but I started to think, any chance somebody can get themselves sent off or something, just to give me like a sign of life? Can somebody like throw an elbow or that wouldn't have solved anything, but it would have been something. It would have been a sign of life. It would have been a heartbeat in the game. But that was absolutely lamentable.
I think Stephen summed it up really nicely there, Melly. Lamentable, It wasn't even exciting. There wasn't a fight. There was no aggression in the Celtic team. It was about as dry and lamentable a performance as I can remember.
I'd say it's the worst Glasgow derby performance anyway, definitely, for Celtic. It was absolutely abysmal coming away from it. I wasn't as angry as Stephen was. I had nothing left. I just felt, I said to Stephen in one of the recent podcasts on the one you missed, Jamie, that it just felt when Celtic got through this transfer window, it still felt like it was sort of the end of the road for this team. And after that game, I was like, this has been coming, and I could see it coming, but I chose to pretend I didn't see it, and I just thought, no, it'll all be fine. We've been through this before on the podcast, when we think Celtic will be fine, they'll just turn up. Why do we think that? Why do we think all of a sudden they'll turn up and beat a team who's playing very well? It rarely happens. It rarely, rarely happens. And I just felt that it's another red flag in this season. It seems to be there's been far too many of them so far, and maybe it's the end of the road for something here.
Everyone knew this was coming. Absolutely everybody knew it was coming. We'd been saying it on the podcast for weeks that this is, the performances are Ronnie Dyla-esque. We can offer up every excuse that you want about the players being off, about the players unavailable for selection, about it was a team Neil Lennon saying cobbled up the day before. That's fine, right? Go down fighting. That's what you want.
And that's what
I'm not talking about running about charging, sticking an elbow in people and two-footering people and all that. But don't be so passive. Someone take the game by the scruff of the neck here. Someone try and make a change. But what pissed me off the most was that there just seemed like so many players on that pitch yesterday, or the day before, whenever it was, just happy to lose. Happy to lose. Like they were losing to St. John's. Oh, we've just dropped points here. It's all right. It's a long season. That's not the way we used to approach these Rangers games. Now, everyone talks about, you know, Brendan Rodgers, we went from beating these teams 5-0 and 4-0 and 3-2 and all that regularly until now, where they've got the better of us. And that's fine. But even in the corresponding fixture 2 years ago, we beat them 1-0 with Olivier and Olivier and Cham goal. And that was a much better performance then. And we were crap up until that point. As me and you were talking about off-air, Millie. So what worries me is, and I've been teeing this up for weeks, we sat during Ronnie Dyla's tenure and we watched crap performance after crap performance after crap performance. We tried our best and we tried to be positive and we tried to big it up and we tried to put a brave face on it saying, maybe they'll click in the next game. Maybe they'll click against Malmo. Maybe they'll click in this cup game. And it never happened. And we looked back and went, teams don't just click. And that's exactly what happened on Saturday there. And it begs a question now, does Steven Gerrard have Neil Lennon's number in these games, Melly?
Yeah, by the evidence of the last, what they've played four times now, Neil Lennon got the better of them. Well, four times since Neil Lennon was permanently given the manager's job, so I'll say that because it's often said, look, Celtic or managers have their team after free transfer windows. He's had the summer, he's had January, and he's had this summer. This is Neil Lennon's team now, right? No matter how many inherited, this is now his team. They've been playing his way for so long. So Gerrard, he does have his number. Neil Lennon got the better of him in the first game last season. Steven Gerrard didn't have a winger, didn't have that out ball, didn't play Morelos. Went away from that, learned from it, dominated Celtic in the League Cup final, and then dominated them at Celtic Park. And again, dominated again at the weekend. So, going by the evidence, yeah, he does have his number.
This has been incrementally happening over a number of games, as you describe, Emily. It's a sentence both of you have used so far since we've been recording. This has been coming, and that's the worst part of it. The worst part of it is that this has been absolutely right in front of our face. We've just basically sleepwalked into this, and you know, just assuming that Rangers are a bad team, slippy G's, never won anything, all that kind of stuff, right? We're focusing on all the silliness, all the distractions. Meanwhile, they've just been slowly but surely working on a plan, working on a system, working on their shape, their coaching, in order to solve the problem that is overtaking Celtic. And for now, maybe temporarily, we'll find out in due course, they have done that. They have overtaken Celtic. If anybody disagrees with that, right, fine. But what has happened in these games is that they've slowly but surely, they've been dominating games and coming out just unlucky. If it wasn't for an utterly world-class goalkeeping display from Fraser Forster, they would have won a trophy by now as well. And now all the chickens have come home to roost on this one with what we saw on Saturday, and it's terrible.
It pisses me off because I get the feeling that we are turning into them. We are going out spending big, no paying attention to what's going on, paying the big wages, keeping Odds and Edward when we should have sold them, Keaton and Cham when we should have sold them, all these things that go against your better judgment, going out and getting Shane Duffy and everyone's like, yes, this is Duffy and Elian Ussie and £5 million. And is this what we need? Are these the guys we really need? Or are we just doing, you know, should we maybe have more focus on, you know, instead of trying to, ages ago when we were doing this podcast and we were talking about our worries with Neil Lennon, we said you can mitigate bad management or the lack of management ability by going out and buying better players. Just throw money at it and strong arm the league, right? Maybe that's not the case anymore. Mm. Maybe we just don't have enough money to strong arm the league because Rangers have got a team there, are not a very good team. In my opinion, no one's going to tell me that Scott Arfield is a better footballer than Olivier and Cham, but Steven Gerrard's getting better performances out of Scott Arfield than Neil Lennon's getting out of Olivier and Cham. And that's just a fact. Morelos done nothing the other day. I didn't think Kent was particularly dangerous and he's one of their best players. He was good, but he didn't frighten me the way he frightened me in more games. So Rangers have pretty much, from my point of view, looked at it and went, let's worry about beating Celtic. Because if we can beat Celtic, we can beat the rest of the league, right? Yeah. Now, that's not worked for them. Because Rangers' problem isn't beating us. Rangers' problem is picking up points on the road everywhere else. Losing against the small teams and all that, you know? But I don't know what our project is. You can pin the tail on Rangers. I don't know what ours is.
It's very short term. It seems to be, look, everybody was delighted with the signing of guys like Duffy. But looking at it, if you're playing free at the back, where does he fit in alongside Julian and all that? I know players weren't available, but some of this, it was a good signing. I still think he could turn that around, but it hasn't worked out so far because, well, we're not playing to his strengths, are we? We're sticking them in there and wanting them to ping passes over at the wide players. It doesn't work. So there's been a lot of short-termism about Celtic recently where it's get to the end of this season, then we'll go from there. Whereas before, you should be thinking, right, this is the three to five year plan. We should be in the midst of that, but we're not. We're just in a get to the end of this season because see, after this season, it doesn't just stop, as we've already spoke about. Yeah. There's still a league to be won. There's still a squad of players that you need to enhance or sell on. So it shouldn't just stop on this 10. And Celtic and Neil Lennon mainly have been very guilty about being short-sighted recently.
Let's bring the focus back onto the game itself, you know, away from the wider Celtic project. This is a weekly podcast, and if people will be listening to this going, aye, but Neil Lennon's 1X and Celtic are still on course for Y, take that as read. Okay, we appreciate that Celtic are still on course for everything, and aye, we've lost the league. We've lost to Rangers before and went on to win the league and all that, carry on. That's not what we're here to talk about. Neil Lennon says that the team played very much like, Stephen, a team that were cobbled together the day before the game. A lot of absences, which was very, very clear. No one really knew who was going to line up for Celtic. Neil Lennon, I think, was trying to keep it under wraps that Edward couldn't play. However, that got leaked before the game kicked off, much to Neil Lennon's disgust. That's what he called it. He said it was disgusting. Someone from
disgusting.
Inside.
Disgusting. Yeah.
Disgusting. Did. And he's right, though, because there'll only be a select few people that know that team. You know what I mean? And you're looking for trust inside the camp. But that's to me is a bit by the by. How much did these absences, Stephen, really, in your opinion, play into the defeat?
Well, I've said before at various times that if you take three or four of the best players out of a team, they're going to suffer for it, right? That's just a fact. That could potentially devastate any team in the world, not just Celtic, if you start chipping away at their quality on the pitch. However, what I would say about that, just in this specific case, is that we've already seen the game, so we can make informed opinions on what those absences would have may or may not have done in the game. This isn't before the game where we think, oh, we're missing this guy, so we're going to struggle here. We've already seen it. The players who are missing, somebody has to now do a job of telling me what those players would have done. And I'm not saying they would just have made no difference whatsoever. That's not what I'm saying. Of course they would have, but what would they have done? Because the absences, yes, we can run through them. There are James Forrest, Ryan Christie, Odson Edward, the two Israeli defenders, Biton and Mohamed. If I'm missing anyone, please fill me in. But I think those are the kind of main ones. Those are the core ones that would have, you know, more often them would have started than not. Odson Edward is undeniable quality. He hasn't been in great form this season, of course. We've spoken about this, but he is undeniable quality. So you'd think, right, well, that will make the team better. But look at the way the game played out. what's odds and Edward going to do in that? We didn't create a single chance. We didn't have a single shot on goal. We would have had him out there feeding off of absolute scraps. We would have been over relying on him to take the ball in. And we've seen it loads of times this season. You pass the odds on Edward and basically expect that he dribbles through about three players and scores. That's what we would have expected him. Rangers would have seen that coming a mile off. And it sticks in my throat as much as anyone having to sit here and talk about how good Rangers were against Celtic. And they weren't that great, but
they weren't great. I'm so glad you mentioned that. They were better, but they weren't great.
But what they absolutely were was better than Celtic by every stretch of the imagination. They were, yes, they have players in the squad, Celtic, right, who can produce moments of magic, but we've not really seen a lot of that this season. I don't think Hudson Edward, good a player as he is, would have been the key difference there. James Forrest, again, no. I don't see a history there of him turning up in games like against Rangers. I don't see it. The only one I would make a case for is Ryan Christie, and it's on the very simple basis that he would have tried a shot. And that sounds like the most uninsightful and basic thing to say on a podcast that seeks to analyse a game. But what Celtic needed was to somebody hit a shot.
For me, it's all about the performances, Stephen, like you said, that you would have got out of these players. Judging by Neil Lennon's comments, I think part of him suspected he was really going to struggle in the game. Maybe just saying that after the fact. He obviously has absolutely no faith in Patrick Lamala, Melly. And see, when people are talking about, oh, I would have started Griffiths, I would have started a half fit. Neil Lennon would have as well. This is the defensive mount of Neil Lennon. He's not starting Patrick Lamala because he fancies Lamala to turn it on one afternoon in 6 months. He's starting the likes of Lamala because he's got no choice.
Yeah, I feel we were a bit hamstrung with the team. Could we have went four at the back? I don't think so. We didn't have enough wide players. The 3-5-2, it's the system we've been using recently. We've won every game since we switched to it, but the performances haven't been there within that. The reason we changed to 3-5-2 last year was because we had Edward and Griffiths up front and we wanted to get the both of them in. But right now we're just using it because it worked last year. We're not using it because we have the players for it to work. And that is because of the absences. Look, if Celtic coming up against Rangers and they had four or five players who arguably would start the game, we'd be rubbing our hands. So quite rightly, Rangers must have done the same. And if we were looking at Rangers and they had Morelos out and they had Kent out and had Itten and Jones playing, you would be saying this Celtic need to win this game. And that's what happened with Celtic. Celtic had the best attacking players out, and you can argue that. But again, I'll go along with Stephen. See, if you're saying Edward, Christie, Forrest should have came out, would have played the game, fine. But not one of them has been in form this season. Not one of them. And see the players that played on Saturday, none of them are on form. All our attacking players are not on form. Christie, been poor this season. Forrest, poor this season. Edward, poor. Elyounoussi, poor. Ncham, poor. Rogic, barely starting. Griffiths, barely starting. Ayeti's been good, but hasn't fit. Why have we got so many players not playing well? That's not a player problem. That is a bigger problem.
Just on the 3-5-2 as well, you know, people are now saying he needs to move away for this 3-5-2. That's captain hindsight, because Neil Lennon developed this 3-5-2 to get the best out of these Rangers games. And people were saying the 3-5-2 was great, 3-5-2 is working. Now all of a sudden he needs to move away from the 3-5-2. It seems a bit reactionary, seems a bit captain hindsight, Stephen, but is there an argument to say that Neil Lennon maybe needs to go back to the drawing board with this team? And if he does, how many times will this be him going back to the drawing board? Three?
Well, yeah. Well, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. It really is about adjusting. It's about, you know, learning what's going wrong and problem solving from that basis. However, what I would say is that I don't know if the recruitment versus the system has been particularly smart. I think, you know, we've gone out and got a load of new shiny toys, and I'm not sure how all of them fit into this system. I think it's been a case of putting the formation first and then trying to fit players into that regardless of whether they're suited to it. So if it's a case of going back to the drawing board, I'm not against that, because, you know, it's their job at the end of the day. But Melly makes a good point about Duffy. He's a good player, but I just don't know where he fits in. And there's a number of players like that who desperately tried to bring back Elyounoussi, who is, again, undeniably a good player. But is he suited to this? He can play. He can play off a striker. Yeah, I've got no issue with that. But is he the best man for the job? I don't know. I don't know if we've gone about this in necessarily the smartest way. And it's probably a comparison I will make more than once tonight. But Celtic at the moment feel a bit Man United in that they go out and get players that seem to become available rather than going out and identifying what they actually need to benefit them the best.
The one thing for me that above all else, you know, Neil Lennon isn't famed as this tactician. He's no famed as a particularly shrewd or switched on guy when it comes to shape or any of these things by his own admission. Whether that's true or not, whether he plays up to that is another story. There's no doubt that Neil Lennon loves football and is immersed in football, so he does know about tactics and all that sort of thing. But the thing he is famous for is drive, energy, performance, aggression, pushing high up the pitch, getting the ball forward, high volume, shots on goal. So aside from everything else, you look at that Celtic performance, Melly, that has none of the hallmarks of a Neil Lennon Celtic team, and that's what worried me the most.
You're right. It was terrifying, to be quite honest with you, because a couple of weeks ago when the transfer window, well, even just recently when the transfer window shut, great transfer window for Celtic, addressed all the positions. We have strongest squad that I'd said since the double treble winning team, yet it's the poorest performances we've seen since then. And you have to ask yourself why. That's why maybe at the end of this podcast, when we've had all this out, I'm maybe not as worried as I should be about this season, because I feel we've got the players, we've got the squad. Whereas in previous times when Ronnie Dyler, towards the end of that, you're like, we need about six or seven players in here. But really, you don't. You just need a good manager with a good system, and you need good tactics. So if Celtic can get that, it should get a lot better. But what you're saying about Neil Lennon there, that where is it? Last year, start of the season, we had Lenny Ball going right up to the January break, where we won all our games in December apart from the Rangers one. Then we switched it around. Then we hit the form again in the 3-5-2. It was brilliant. It was fast attacking football. This Celtic team this season does not have an identity. They do not have an identity. Again, full game, no shots on target. We watched the St Johnstone game previous to the international break. One shot on target in the 75th minute. Up till that, nothing. The Riga game before that, pretty much the same. This Neil Lennon fast swashbuckling football is non-existent this season. We're so passive, so easy to play against. Teams just need to sit in, and Rangers, that's what they've done. They sat in, soaked it up, and hit us, got a goal from a set piece, which is shocking from Celtic, but we're not doing the basics right, and I really struggle to see what this Celtic team are all about right now under Neil Lennon.
I mean, I'm half joking, of course, when I said up front in my opening statement that I wanted to see a better fight. Can somebody go and get sent off? Right, I'm obviously only joking about that. I don't mean it should have to be extreme, but give me something. Do you know what I mean? Like, give me something to make me believe in you. And it just wasn't there. It just absolutely wasn't there. I mean, it's very, very worrying. We talk about all these individual players and how they're not in form. Why is that? Why are they all reversing? And that is alarming for me, because as Melly has said on a number of occasions now, we don't have a single player on form. Who could you actually say in this Celtic team in the last 6, 12, 18 months has got better? Who's improved in this team? Frimpong I'll give, because he is at the very start of his career and he's naturally going to get better anyway, although he wasn't good in this game and we're maybe over-relying on him a wee bit too much, as good a player as he is. Who's getting better? We've got all these.
Patrick Klamala started off as a Stirling Albion level player and he's now a Falkirk level player.
Yeah, well, right, I can buy that. That is improvement. He's the fastest improving player in the squad, no doubt. But my main point here is, I suppose, what is going on with the coaching of these players? Because, right, we can focus in on a guy like Ncham, who looks like he doesn't want to be here, who hasn't. We've backed him to the hilt, right? Let me get that out of the way. We have been major Ncham supporters on here. He should be in the team. I've given up on that now. I'm not really willing to die on that hill anymore. But he's just an example. We can no longer say, like, Ncham's no playing well, Ayer's no playing well. All these guys who get the blame all the time. But why are they not playing well? Why are they not being coached? Why, we've got all these developing, we believe, European level assets in that playing squad, and we're making them worse. That seems counterintuitive. It sounds like almost impossible to me to have them all out of form and reversing up the runway at exactly the same time.
That's the worrying thing for me. If the players aren't playing for Neil Lennon. That's worrying. But if you flip that over, see if the players are playing for Neil Lennon, then they don't know what they're doing for Neil Lennon, because yeah. none of them seem to have a clue what they're doing. None of them seem to be following, know what their instructions are, because there's no patterns of play, there's no passages, there's no triangles, there's nothing.
Stephen, you mentioned, you know, Olivier and Cham there, Olivier and Cham's being the focus of a lot of it. For me, I don't think he was any worse than the majority of the Celtic players on the pitch. But I suppose there might be a question is, like you said, how does Neil Lennon get the best out of these players? Why are they not performing for Neil Lennon? So I wound the clock back 2 years now. I'm not going to go stats heavy. That, for me, doesn't work on a podcast reading out numbers, but this is the best way I can make to illustrate the point, if people could bear with me for a moment. I wound the clock back 2 years to the game that we spoke about when Celtic beat Rangers 1-0 and Cham scored. Compare that to Cham's performance in the game that has just passed there. The game that just passed, Olivier and Cham played 7 forward passes, right? The whole game. Compare that to 25 in the corresponding fixture 2 years ago. He played 1 back pass in the game there compared to 8. He played 12 lateral passes in that game compared to 37 in the game that we won, and 14 short passes compared to 62 in the game that we won 2 seasons ago. Now,
14 to 62 was that 14, last one?
Yeah. Good grief. So whatever that tells me, that either Cham doesn't want to be there, or the manager doesn't know how to get the best out of Olivier Cham, because he was great in that game that we won 2 years ago. And it goes back to Mel's point. What's the point here? What's the shape? Why is the productivity... It doesn't matter if... I just mentioned that word productivity and it made me think of like someone working in a supermarket or whatever, but I suppose it is. It's the same as any job. If the manager is not getting the productivity out of his staff, then it's the manager's fault. Either get a way to make Olivier Cham work or stop picking Olivier Cham. It's that simple, really.
Well, as I've said about Cham, I have defended him to the best of my ability. I've defended Cham because I know how good he can be. And those stats, it bears out in the stats how good he has been in the past against Rangers. And that's what kind of what I was clinging on to, possibly in a misguided manner. I've been clinging on to the ability Cham has to turn up in these games and dominate them. But I'm not willing to do that anymore, to be perfectly honest. And Cham's far from the only issue in this game. He is one of the many issues, but he's far from the biggest one. But it is time to find a different combination in there. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think the midfield has been lacking all season. We've all had our chats about Scott Brown. We've talked that to death. Callum McGregor hasn't been great this season, to be honest, either. And Olivier Cham certainly hasn't been good. So we would be foolish now to continue with that exact combination going forward, because it's not working. The thing is, Celtic have options, so all is not lost.
Yeah, well, we put a poll up on Twitter asking, should Cham be dropped and should Turbo be brought in? And 93% of people said, yeah, he should. And you know what? That's fair
enough. Landslide.
Yeah, a landslide. Yeah. I'd love to see Turbo get a run of games, but my worry is still, see if you switch one player out, what difference is it going to make? Because it's not as if Cham is the problem in here and you're going, see if you take Cham out, everything clicks into place, because it doesn't. Because the wide players aren't playing well, the central midfielders aren't playing well, the strikers aren't playing well, nobody's getting any service from MD. Again, at the weekend there, our 4 players that touched the ball the most was a holding midfielder and our 3 centre-backs. Where's the style here?
What worries me as well is that Rangers had clearly done their homework in Celtic. Rangers didn't push their fullbacks up like they normally do. They kept their fullbacks back, created that space, and played in their players, and they just kept doing it. And we didn't impose ourselves in the game. I know it's not analysis to say that, but I firmly believe that we didn't give Rangers enough to think about. They didn't have to work very hard at all to get the best out of that game. If we were a bit more ambitious and if we were a bit more aggressive and went, right, okay, we're going to fucking go for this. And even after this, you know, I thought we were okay in the first half. I just thought we lacked something. Second half was absolutely abysmal. But the goals were so easy, weren't they, Melly? Like, that goal was so... The first goal was so preventable. Just poor defending, poor defensive organisation. And Barkas, what did you call him in the group chat, Stephen?
Oh, Poppadom gloves.
Poppadom gloves. He got a hand to that, but he might as well not bothered, Melly.
No.
Yeah, I'll come on to Barkas, but as you're saying, I watched the game again, and as painful as it was, the first half Celtic were decent. Now, the first 5 minutes, it's just one of those normal games, but it was a decent enough start. And even after we let in the goal, we kept playing our game. But what Rangers done is they had their two wide players on our two outside centre halves, and then they had Morelos on Duffy. So they matched up 3v3, and as you said, their fullbacks just sort of sat in. It was a bit different. That's why they went with Barker instead of moving Arfield up there. So fair enough, Rangers changed their tactics, but what they did is play the balls down those channels to get their players one-on-one, whereas with Celtic going with the two strikers, I thought, look, that's the chance. Rangers will push up their fullbacks and then there'll be space for us to get the balls into channels. Watching the first half, we done that once. Yeah. We didn't get the ball anywhere near our strikers or attacking players quickly enough. It was always across the back three and then back across, then get it out wide, giving Rangers all the time in the world to get back into shape. Now, as I said, Celtic, I thought they'd done quite well in the first half without creating anything, but they undone that with a deplorable marking for the first goal. It was poor from the very start. Ayer fires a ball into El Yunusi, which is pretty wild. He does well to control it, but does a slack pass back. Ayer then has to chase it and stupidly gives away a foul on Kent, which Rangers can fight in the free kick. But I just felt we were giving away silly free kicks and corners all the time during the game, giving them options just to flight it into the box and cause us trouble. But watching the goal, Goldson starts in between Ayer and Duffy, and there's a point where Ayer points at him and says to Duffy, you take him, because I can't remember the Rangers player who was just to the side of Ayer who he was going to take, clearly said to Duffy to take him. Goldson then goes into an offside position, drops off, and then when the ball's about to come in, he runs in front of Ayer. Duffy hasn't even looked at him. He's just left him there. Ayer, he's come across Ayer, across the front of him. He can't get to me. That was poor from Ayer as well. And while Barkas maybe could have done better, I'm looking at that Rangers team, and if you say to me, who's the one guy you need to stop in that box? It's not Morelos when that ball comes in. It's Goldson and then Hollander. Their main threat gets a free header in the middle of the goals from 6 yards out. Great keepers might not save that, but good defenders stop that happening, and we didn't. It's Barkas, possibly a mistake. The defence, a massive mistake.
I didn't have a massive problem with Ayer having committed the foul. It wasn't ideal, of course, right? El Yunusi gave him a poor ball. And often, I'm not saying it's the case with this one, but often the best course of action is to probably give away an ugly foul, because the free kick's nowhere near anything. Like, it's not some kind of danger zone. That's fine. We can all, as long as we keep our concentration, that's easy to deal with. The ball will come in, we'll just deal with it. But for the most experienced guy on the pitch, well, you know, not the most experienced, but the most experienced in a wider context, having played in the Premier League and an international level and all that, Shane Duffy, for him to be the first guy who goes, who just kind of nullifies any offside trap or anything like that, is completely unforgivable. Barkas didn't cover himself in glory, but he wasn't exactly helped out by the defence, to be honest. He should have saved that, in my opinion, because he got a hand to it and basically just shoved it into the side of the side net. And there's a lot of people keen to write off Barkas already. I'm not at that stage, but I can't say I'm really blown away by him so far.
He's not made any important saves for us, has he? He's not made any.
Andy Walker said that. Yeah, Andy Walker said that in commentary.
Has he had the opportunity to, but apart from that?
I was racking my brains after he said that to think, well, no. My first instinct was to counteract that, right? But there was a game, was it Riga? Was it Riga? He made a string of good saves, like not necessarily like world class, like Fraser Forster against Lazio saves, but I'm sure he made a series of saves in a game that kept Celtic straight in it. But I mean, it's besides the point. Like, who cares? To be perfectly honest, if he's
made
an important
save, we've not been conceding goals, really, have we? So it's not been. You can't really point him and say, "Oh, that one was his fault. That one was his fault." Because it's real right now. It's not the. Although we did ship two goals there, but we haven't been shipping goals. We thought, oh, the defence is all over the place. It's further forward that's the problem. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, look, Rangers are crap. They're not that good, because they came with a plan and they stuck to it and they got the result. As hard as that is to say, it's true. But they didn't cut us open a lot because, look, they didn't have to. We gifted them two goals. We gifted them that goal. That gives them the lead within 8 minutes. So they can sit in and play their game. That's fine. But then the second goal as well, a corner. It's a corner whipped in. It goes out right over the other side of the pitch. And Cham, people are having a go at him. I'm not sure it's his fault. I'd more blame Laxalt. The 1-2 is played and Laxalt dives into Arfield, who then just spins off him, and Morelos plays a 1-2, drills it across. Goldson again, the only guy in there. There's three Celtic guys. Duffy gets a block, then he gets a decent wee break of the ball. But it's pitiful. It's the second phase of a corner. Again, why are we not shaping up? Why are we all over the place for these things? As if when a corner comes in, nobody knows where they're supposed to be going. It was awful again. And that early goal in the first half, early goal in the second half, kills it stone dead.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Neil Lennon said, you know, Elianoussi missed a chance. There was a lot of talk about the Elianoussi chance. He goes, that changes the complexion of the game. It doesn't, it doesn't. But I think if the game ended at half-time, and I said this in the reaction, if the game ended at half-time, if that was the game over and we'd lost 1-0 for a set piece, we'd missed a chance, we were kind of better, with all the players missing, I think all things being equal, I would have been annoyed, but not as annoyed as this. How much of a bearing, Stephen, do you think the Elianoussi chance had on things?
Well, goals change games and all that kind of stuff, but at the same time, no, I just... What we said up front on this was that this has been coming, that this is built up over a series of performances with Celtic. I don't think that the season as it stands just now hinges on Moya Elianoussi not shinning that ball over the bar. I just don't think, I don't want to rely on these things. Yeah, it would have been great to get come roaring back into it, but I think all the problems that we're talking about, they all exist. You know, they all underpin what Celtic are just now. It's not just about this goal. If Celtic had scored, there's a fair chance that Rangers probably still would have tactically completely outclassed them for the rest of the game anyway. They might have won 2-1, 3-1. Let's not forget Rangers missed two probably golden opportunities to make it an absolute rout. Christopher Ayer's heel probably having saved Neil Lennon's job for the time being, which is ironic considering he's one of the guys who probably doesn't want to be here, but more on that later probably. No, I'm not focusing too much on Elianoussi's goal to be, but yeah, of course it would have changed the game somewhat, but I don't think we would have been sitting here with a different result. A different result in terms of the scoreline, but not a different result in terms of the points.
It's very reminiscent of the game at Celtic Park just before January last year, because Celtic missed the penalty. Then remember we got the goal, McGregor shot and it hit off Edward.
Yeah,
we didn't deserve that goal. We got into it just by a lucky break, and this was the same. It was just Shane Duffy shelling a ball long up the pitch, and Goldson makes a mistake up against Elianoussi. Look, that's why I'm worried that our best chance
came
from...
One of the few passes Shane Duffy got right the whole game.
Yeah, but Shane Duffy's shelling a pass up to Mo Elianoussi up against Conor Goldson. 9 times out of 10, Goldson wins that no bother, but it sort of hits his head and falls to Elianoussi. That was our best chance, created from a long ball from a centre-half to a 5'9", 10 striker. Where's the chances coming from? Where's the play? That it's one of those ones where, yeah, it might have changed the game. We get in there one each, but do I see us playing a whole lot better and getting a tactic spot on after that, as Stephen said. No, I don't. It's a bit strange looking at this game that Celtic are the champions. We've won 9 titles in a row, yet coming into this game, Rangers were the more settled team. Usually if you win the league, you think, all right, we just need one or two in and we'll be good. But Celtic brought in 6 players. Rangers sort of haven't really brought MD in that come straight in at their first 11. They've just sort of enhanced their squad, but they've got better within that. So looking at the game, I know Neil Lennon had his sort of was hamstrung by all the call-offs and all that, but guys making a Glasgow Derby debut, Barkas, you had Welsh, you had Laxalt, Klamala. It's very difficult. Duffy, Celtic, yeah. Duffy, Celtic going in there with half of their team playing in this game for the first time. That it must be a long time since that happened. That's happened, so I can see why it maybe be a bit inconsistent. Added into the fact that it's come straight off the back in international break, where players are playing up to Wednesday. This game's on a Saturday morning, and you're getting guys like Edward coming back, not knowing. But Neil Lennon said he built this team in Saturday morning, but in the pre-match to this game, he said, we've prepared for every eventuality. It did not look like that on the pitch.
A lot of focus has been turned on Neil Lennon after the Celtic game, and it's only right. What I don't understand is, I understand Neil Lennon has got fans and the support, and I'm one of them, right? But I'm not going to defend the guy to the absolute hilt on everything. If the team is not playing well, the buck stops with the manager. And there's no point. You know, I don't even think Neil Lennon himself would welcome his agent on Twitter arguing with fans and putting fans right. I just don't think that Neil... I think if Neil Lennon is sitting here, he wouldn't want that. That's not how he wants to be judged. He wants to be judged on his performance and ability as a Celtic manager, and there's no reason for it. If there's people on social media, you know, talking crap and making up stuff, not making up lies, but coming forward with wrong opinions about the way that Celtic approached the game and all that, Neil Lennon proves them wrong next time he plays Rangers, or he proves them wrong in the next game. He doesn't prove them wrong by getting his agent to argue on Twitter about it. That's not how this works. So pressure is part and parcel of the Celtic job. Criticism is part and parcel of being a big manager. There is no point moaning about that criticism that comes.
Are we saying about this incident, shit was unseemly? Is that what was going on Twitter the game?
Shit was unseemly on Twitter. Shit was unseemly. Look, criticism comes with being the Celtic manager. It's part and parcel of the job. Like, for example, a fishmonger goes home every day reeking a fish, right? Right? That's what happens. It's part and parcel of the job, right? What you don't get is a fishmonger's agent on social media shouting at all the fish for being smelly. You just have to, right? That's the analogy, and I'm sticking with that.
Yeah.
Right? Just like a fishmonger goes, I sound like Cantona, just like the fishmonger goes home stinking a fish, the Celtic manager's going to get pelters on Twitter after a bad game. And people are hypersensitive about it. We tweeted out Neil Lennon's up-and-coming fixture list, and here it is, right? Milan, Aberdeen, Lille, Aberdeen, Prague, Motherwell, Hibs, Prague, Milan. That's a tough set of fixtures, no doubt about it. The amount of replies we got, right? There was nothing deliberate about this tweet, but the amount of replies we got saying, yeah, I think you'll find that's Celtic's fixture list.
That's the
not
real
Neil Lennon's
quiz,
fixture.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. We'll see if you tweeted that at us. See if Neil Lennon wins all those games 5-0. Are you going to be tweeting us? Are you going to be tweeting about how good a job Neil Lennon's doing? Of course you are.
So the Celtic, I think you'll find, yeah.
Aye, Celtic won those games, not Neil Lennon. So the buck stops with the manager. End of story. Is it accurate to say that, rightly or wrongly though, Neil Lennon, more than any other Celtic manager of recent times, is always just one bad result for people wanting him sacked? It seems to be the case that one bad result, immediately people are talking about replacing the guy. Let me extend that. And if that's the case, is Neil Lennon firmly in Ronnie Dyla territory now? One bad result out of all those games I've just mentioned, will people be having serious conversations about wanting to get him sacked?
That's the problem he's under now, because we've had 2 big games this season, Ferencváros and the Rangers game, and he's been found wanting. And it's not because we don't have the better players, it's because we're tactically outclassed in both games. Both games were there to be won, and we didn't, because we didn't have the right game plan. That's Neil Lennon's problem now, is he's not coming up with the game plans. Last season, he came in after people being wary. Some of us, myself included, thought it'd be best to go for somebody else, but he got the job. Disaster at the start of the season, but he turned it round and won us all over in the end, I'd say. This season turning up, we haven't turned up, and that's got to be down to the manager, because it's the same players that are there from last season, plus we've enhanced the squad, so something's not right in there. Neil Lennon's at the point now where a few of my mates who were very, I was going to say staunch Neil Lennon fans, but you can't really say that, can you?
No.
They were huge Neil Lennon fans, but they've given up on him now. They've given up on him, and I feel the tide starting to turn on that. A squad is a good squad, but he's not getting the best out of them. How long do you give it before you've got a manager who is always one big game away from questions being asked about him? Because it can't go on. We had the Lazio games last year, but there's so many games within last year and this year where Celtic have been beaten by teams who are not better than us. Cluj, Copenhagen, Rangers, Ferencvaros. Celtic should be beating them if they have a plan to do it, but we don't, unfortunately. And that's Neil Lennon's problem now.
Is Neil Lennon and Rory Dyla territory, Stephen? And when I say that, I mean, is he just one bad result away from serious conversations? Serious and warranted conversations, because, as I said before, there's lots of conversations. There's lots of people serious about wanting Neil Lennon sacked, right? That's ridiculous. But are these warranted conversations?
That's a good word to use, because the context I was previously going to answer the question in was that it's after one bad result, and it's not after one bad result. As we've said all along in this podcast, this is what the season has been building towards. We've said it as well, that we can't be accused of being a reactionary, because we all said after narrowly beating all these teams, eventually this is going to run out. Eventually you can't get away with snatching last minute winners after playing poorly, after not having any ideas on which to break teams down. You kind of just keep relying on individual quality to bail you out all the time, because one day you'll turn up, it'll come back to haunt you. And that's what's happened here. I wouldn't say that it's one bad result hanging over him just now. I have since calmed down a bit after the game. I'm still furious about the performance and the result, but I've calmed down off. I'm off the ledge of saying that Lennon needs to go soon, because I think he has enough in the bank with Celtic fans, and me included, and probably, I wouldn't speak for us all on the podcast, but I probably broadly will agree on this, that he has enough in the bank to be allowed another chance. And I know people will be listening to this thinking, oh, this is Lennon out brigade, but it's not. Do you think I like sitting on here talking about potentially replacing the manager? Absolutely not, especially not in this season. But the problem is, I don't know if I see it getting any better, just based on performances and based on the tactical, let's face it, cluelessness we've seen this season. So yes, he is in trouble just now, there's no doubt about it. We're going into a very, very sticky run of fixtures just now, and I'm willing to give him more of that to turn it around, because I think he deserves that. I think he's bought himself enough capital, enough in the bank to get that. But things need to change, and very, very quickly, because there's a malaise creeping in at the club, and it is not a nice experience at the moment. The demeanour of everyone.
It's crept in.
Yeah, exactly. The demeanour of everyone after. I mean, even the likes of Scott Brown wandering off the pitch on Saturday just had a stoic acceptance. His face was just defeated. And I'm just like, this is not the Celtic I recognise against Rangers at all.
Do you want me to be kind? I think in the camp, rightly or wrongly, right? I think those players knew they were up against it that day because of how many people were out, because Julian was out, because Edouard was out, because Griffiths and Ayeti weren't fit, because Laxalt was starting. I think a lot of the senior players went into that game thinking, if we get into this, it'll be a ruddy miracle. I think that really affected the mentality in the camp.
Yeah.
That's just me being fair. That's me trying to be fair to Neil Lennon. And what I will say as well, just to be fair to Neil Lennon and bring it back to what we were talking about, and I know you're trying to come in, Melly, was we're fickle. Football fans, if Neil Lennon beats Milan 3-0, people will say, right, well, that was the result that turned it around. He's working his way back. And you can't really be like that with a Celtic manager. You can't say, you lost to Rangers 2-0, right? You need to lose the job. All right, okay. A couple of days later, you beat Milan 3-0, right? You're sound now. And then he loses to Aberdeen. You go, you need to lose the job. And then he beats Lee when you go, maybe give him another chance. We can't have this roller coaster, Melly, can we?
No, you can't. But at the same time, what you said about the players and going, look, we're under pressure here, we've not got all the players, is that not more damning of their attitudes if they think, look, do you know what? We might not get anything out of this game. Should that not, and Neil Lennon as well, motivate you to try even harder? If it look, we need to give everything today if we've got any chance of getting out of this. And then to go on the pitch and have not a single shot on target, not a bit of, I'm not wanting guys, people saying, maybe say, oh, look, we need dig in midfield, we need dig at the back. Well, we've got that in Scott Brown. We brought in Shane Duffy for that, and Shane Duffy was one of the worst players in the park. It was nothing to do with dig at the weekend. It was a sheer lack of quality. We bash on about Celtic having went out in the summer, enhanced our squad with six good players. We've a couple of players out, and then we're just meant to accept defeat because we haven't got all our wee pals beside us. That's not how it works.
See, on that, like, just before you move on there, sorry, Jimmy, I think we are guilty, and it comes up after every bad result. I know it sounds a wee bit reactionary, but I think we're guilty at times of grossly overrating our own players. At times we concentrate too much on what they're worth in the open market. Oh, this guy's worth 40 million, 15 million for whoever Greg Taylor had, I don't know. But at times I watch them play and I think, what are we talking about with this? That they're nowhere near as good as we think. And we do focus a lot on the fact that we've got man for man, 1-11, a better team than Rangers. We're not showing it. So that doesn't matter. It doesn't count for anything if we've got this better team on paper, because we can't put it into action. So what is the point of having all these assets? A final thing before we move on completely, the Neil Lennon thing, I don't want him to go. I want him to turn it around. I want him to be able to do his job. But what I worry about is that, and it's as I teed up earlier, it's another Man United comparison, is that we have a manager there that everyone, the fans, the board, everyone is going to be unable to make a sensible decision upon it based on emotional ties to a guy, much like Ole Solskjaer is in with Man United. They came in very similar circumstances. They came in after a poison had been removed from each club, i.e. Jose Mourinho and Brendan Rodgers, right? Very different circumstances. And while I'm not saying Neil Lennon is the same manager as Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I think there are obvious parallels here in that he's a Celtic legend and people struggle to see past that, that he is very defended because of who he is. And people sometimes struggle to see what's happening because of it, and they're unable to make the sensible decision. And I worry about that with Celtic. I worry that they won't make the right decision when it needs to be made based on all of that stuff. I'm not saying it needs to be made just now, but this conversation might happen again in the coming weeks. We don't know. And I have my concerns over that.
Look, see, if you want to be positive about it, Thursday's a terrific opportunity for Neil Lennon to bounce back.
Maybe what they need, maybe exactly what they need to go in. Nobody fancies them now. Nobody fancies them to take in from AC Milan. So why not go out and prove that wrong? It's a golden opportunity for it.
Yeah, I mean, Milan, right off the back of winning the Milan derby, I think Zlatan scored two goals for them. I've read some stat that I think since the season commenced, Zlatan scored at least two goals in every game or something like that. Quite remarkably though, you might be able to correct me on this, Millie, but is this Zlatan's first trip to Celtic Park?
Yeah, we played briefly for Ajax back in the old O'Neill years, didn't he? Ajax beat us 1-0, but
that was before he was Zlatan of today.
20 years ago, and the guy's still going stronger than ever by the looks of it.
I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous that we're talking about a guy here who's just turned 39, who's still easily...
Was it 5 goals in 3 games this season so far as well?
he just refuses to age. Obviously, as part of our Patreon coverage, we have had Milan scouted. So we will release before the game a scouting report podcast on Milan. I'll be discussing with Blair what to expect, how Celtic can possibly get a result out of this game against Milan. But it's a massive opportunity for Celtic to put some of the woes behind them. I think it's fair to say I'm not too confident. Guys, just before we wrap up, how confident are you feeling about this Milan game?
Not particularly, with everything we've been talking about tonight. Not extremely confident, but I do think it represents a good opportunity to kind of reset, a wee palate cleanser for everyone. It's a totally different challenge, a totally different type of game, a totally different opposition than we're used to, totally different level. So hopefully this can be a turning point. That's all we can expect or hope for out of this game, rather. Even if Celtic lose this game, as long as they play better than they have been, I'm fine with that, right? I'm absolutely fine with him, you know, taking a decent performance but defeat against AC Milan, because that's what we need. That is what I need to show me that Celtic aren't in a terminal decline. Because, see, ultimately, see, every successful team, it comes to an end. You don't know you're in it until it's over. I just hope that we're all kind of scrambling around looking for answers, and yet we're in it. We're in it and we don't know it. We're in the slide down the other side of the hill. A decent performance in this game will show me that I'm worrying myself over nothing.
4 wins out of 4, Milan sitting 12 points, top of Serie A, Melly. How confident are you feeling?
Not very confident, but it's a European game at Celtic Park, and this is what I grew up on. This is what I look forward to. I love it. Obviously, it'll be different not being able to go to the game. Can't remember the last European game I wasn't at, group stage sort of thing. So it's going to be hard watching it from home. I think it's had an effect on the season in general, but this is what it's all about. If you're going into these games, this is a Champions League game, except the two teams aren't good enough to get into the Champions League. So the history's there. I love seeing Milan. I always liked him as a wee guy. I'm looking forward to it. I just hope, the same as Stephen, I want to see a better performance. As you said it yesterday on the reaction, Jamie, that you can win a game and then, fine, you can say, oh, look, we got the points, but the performance is more important sometimes, because you can tell more from the performance. If Celtic go out and have another toothless display under Neil Lennon, I'm going to need to ask more questions. But at the same time, if the players come out roaring and have a good display against a very good team, you can say, look, these guys are behind Lennon. It's just been everything that's happened recently. Maybe it is time for a reset and we go, because that's it. The window's shut now. All the players, we might get a couple of players back. It's just time to rock it on through these games, because it is a hard run of games, but you wouldn't want it any other way, would you?
Yeah,
no,
that's it.
And I'm really stung, Stephen, by the dialer thing, so I'm not doing that again. So I'm just going to tell you, I think if you think the Celtic team are going to burst onto the scene because Odson Edwards back or Ayeti suddenly becomes fit, if you think Celtic are going to burst onto the scene and it's all going to click, you know, I wish I had your confidence. I'm dreading this run of games. I'm dreading this game against Milan. It doesn't look good for me.
I mean, there's a number of things being clung on to now, because that's kind of all we're left with the way this season's going. And I know it's not all bad. Celtic have been getting the results until we saw what we saw on Saturday, and it came to an end and we didn't get the result. There's been a lot of things clung on to, and one of them is the players coming back, which is fair enough, because players coming back does strengthen you. There's no doubt about that. But it ranges everything from that to, aye, but Rangers will bottle it anyway. Yeah, you know, it always happens. The Rangers will ball it. And listen, if that's the plan, that is uninspiring. If that's genuinely the plan, and you know I like the Wire quote on this podcast, but if that's the plan, it makes me sick, motherfucker, how far we done fell.
Yeah, look, I'm the same. I'm worried about these fixtures, but at the same time, I'm looking at Celtic and going, look, everything's there. Everything's there to turn it around. We've got the players. I've said it before, a great transfer window added to a great squad. The players are there, but all we need to do is get the right players on the pitch and the right system. Will we be able to do it? That is the question.
And on that bombshell, we shall wrap up. Now, regular listeners to this podcast will know that we run a weekly competition. All you need to do is log on to Podcast Addict or iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Make sure you include your Twitter username.
Yes,
we pick the best. Yes, we pick the best review every week and we send you a TMT gold badge. Too much to talk about this week on the podcast. So how about this, boys? To make up for it, next week, we're going to pick 4 winners.
Oh,
your old Uncle Jamie is coming up to
back.
Christmas. Starting to feel generous. So next week, leave us a review between now and next week. Make sure you leave your Twitter name 5 stars and we will pick a winner. 4 winners next week. But apart from that, thanks so much for joining us. Thank you to everyone who contributes on our Patreon. We do so much around the games and we've got so much stuff going on there. Just check it out, patreon.com/20minutetims. See what we've got to offer. If you like the Monday podcast, it's more of the same, but really, really, really good. Stephen, would you like to sign off?
Yes, thanks, folks. Thanks for allowing us this opportunity to get a lot of things off our chest, and we are sorry. We are sorry we are forced into this position, but that's Celtic for you. I'm sure we are going to be better. All we can do is be positive. We are going to be better going forward.
I mean, you mean keep the faith? Melly?
Well, yes, yeah.
Melly, would you like to sign off with something positive?
Yeah, thanks for all the teams that are listening. We always say it one game at a time, so we go again. And to all the Huns listening, fuck off.
there'll definitely be some as well. Oh, definitely.
And let me sign off on this. If MD wants a bit of positivity, I think that going course and distance on these things makes a hell of a lot of difference. And one game certainly doesn't define the season. And we have got players in that team who've been there, who've done it time and time again. They know what it takes to come back from a setback like this. They know what it takes. And if they can put it into action, things are going to be absolutely fine from here. Things can only get better. And the famous words of Tony Blair's Labour government. And on that, we shall end. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.